You went to see my favorite band, My Morning Jacket, at Red Rocks.
The venue itself just is maybe one of the best venues in the country.
I mean, I'm fascinated with Red Rocks. Is there any gimmick to it, or is it just that naturally just different?
When the rain started coming down, we were like pumping the tunes, and we did like camp karaoke, and other like groups like came over because of that. And we had, like, you know, it was like a little party in like the downpour. Let alone, we were supposed to do our panel that day, podcast.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
But you guys, the Ruham guys, have not done a podcast since before Bonnaroo, and I want to know why. Welcome back to the What Podcast. This is a catch-up episode. I can't even speak. We have some special guests, or a special guest. We have some world travelers. You guys have been all over the place. We're going to catch up on that. If you'll see on your screen, we have none other than Parker Reed. How you doing, man?
Great. Thanks for having me back. Surreal talking Roo, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I want to catch up with you. Listeners will recognize Parker from the Ruham podcast, the number one, and there's no question about it. There's no other podcast that covers Bonnaroo as well as you guys do, and Ham's beer.
Yeah, and Ham's culture. I dare someone to find me another.
I was going to say, Barry, what are you doing? Sabotaging us here? What's going on? But you're right. Don't know the first thing about Ham. So, yeah.
Yeah, the What Podcast is the oldest, the first, but we don't do Ham's culture. So,
yeah, we're all PBR over here.
Yeah, I wanted to catch up. So, this is going to be a little bit of a different episode. If you guys have been paying attention, if you're longtime listeners, you know Brian was out of town last week. It was on the West Coast. We're going to probably talk about that next week. Is that right? Is that fair, Brian?
Yeah. We've got plenty of time to kill here in the off season. We'll do that next week. You know, when your grandparents, I don't know, some of you young folks out there might not have grandparents that did this, but many of us did, and I know you do, Barry. At some point, or your aunt or uncle or somebody with the sit down and look at the slides, right? Look at our vacation thing. I got a version of that. We'll do that next week. The only two things I'll say quickly. There's a story to the post office, by the way, you jerks.
Well, I was going to say, so for you guys that were tuning in this week, you're going to have to wait.
There's a story on the post office. And I didn't not go to Seattle. Here's the, you know, my Sub Pop shirt for the day. But it wasn't the primary reason. So we'll put a pin there. We'll come back. It was a fabulous trip to a land, as far as I'm concerned, that might as well be on another planet out in Washington State. And I had such a great time. And thanks for, you know, filling the void while I was gone. And yeah, and then we'll do that next week. So
yeah, sorry, Russ. I know, man. You were tuning in for that post office talk today.
Couldn't wait. I was so excited. I even drove by my own post office just to
got a little chubby. Got a little chubby waiting for it. You're just
there's
gonna have to...
a story. There's a story. There's always a story. I didn't say it was a good story. I just said there's a story.
So we'll have to do that one later. But Russ, you were with a bunch of Bonnaroovians this weekend, right? So we'll talk a little bit about that, right?
Yeah, I just walked in the door coming back from the other farm, so we can talk about that on the end.
The mini farm, is that what we're calling it? Is it
the other farm?
The other farm, okay. The other farm. If you know, you know. But Parker, man, I have so many questions. You have two things I want to talk to you about. You went to see my favorite band, my favorite new band on the planet, My Morning Jacket, at Red Rocks. Was that last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago at this point. Yeah, I mean, it was a big weekend. We not only did that, and then we also went and saw Mount Joy in Denver proper, too.
Oh, nice.
Nice. But, and I want to start with this, and I'm I don't mean to blindside you, but you guys, the Ruham guys, have not done a podcast since before Bonnaroo. And I want to know why.
We did.
Because I miss it. I miss you guys.
Barry is your number one fan.
Absolutely. He knows. He knows.
Loves your show.
Who's the first guy that listens whenever you post?
It's you, and you text me when you text me wondering where they are. So thank you for we did record a review episode or a recap episode. If it didn't make it to feeds, I guess there was something on Jake usually uploads, so I guess I'll throw him under the bus.
Damn it, Jake.
I mean,
I got it.
I haven't heard it. Okay. Dang.
I have a great surprise for you, Barry, if you go to your podcast feed right now. Yeah, but we did, but vibes were so weird after Bonnaroo and...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I feel like everyone's kind of recap episode was just, like, sad and...
They were.
And mm-hmm. depressed. And then I actually, obviously we're going to get one next year, but someone was texting me during it. Like, I think I'm hearing that it's being canceled outright next year when that was still, like, swirling around. And so when I recorded mm-hmm. it, I was just, like, really down on my vibes.
So where are you now? Where are you guys now as far as Bonnaroo? You're going back? I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I guess this year we had our big group, big for Ruham standards, like almost 50, which is pretty good for us. And
sounds big to me.
Yeah.
It's huge.
I think there are a lot of people that are, dependent on, who's playing and how they're feeling in January, I guess. Because, so we did have a lot of people who this was going to be their last year, at least they were planning on it. And then it got cut short. So a lot of people are saying, well, we got to run it back. We can't have it end on the preemptively.
Well, let me ask this real quick as just a quick reset here to just because I know who you are, Parker. I met you this year and I was happy to do that and your partners. But just a quick recap of the Ruham podcast, how it came together and just a timeline real quickly, if you would. Not any deep dive, just a quick rundown.
Yeah, so I went to Bonnaroo for 3 years with the separate rotating cast of people, and then they
starting
all,
in which year? Sorry,
they're actually all behind me. 2015, 16, and 17. Yeah, 15 probably. I mean, maybe age is the best of any of the ones that I've been to. It's crazy. And then anyway, most people dropped, or everyone dropped, I guess, until I was working with Jake on campus, and he was really into. He had been to Lollapalooza and stuff like that. And I said, I'm really hoping to go to Bonnaroo this year, but my whole group dropped. And he's like, well, who's playing? And I said, Paramore, The Killers, whoever else was there in 2018. And he said, we'll go. So just the two of us went. And where the hams came from was we actually forgot to buy beer for the weekend. It was just the two of us. It was so kind of slapdash. And he had hams in his trunk that had been like boiling in his car.
As one
so
they, does.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have a case of hams, in case the radiator, busts, you got to have that hams to put in there.
So we had hot beer in 2018. And so if we ever make the joke, that's like, we prefer it warm or hot. That's why. And
this isn't some passed down through family tradition of drinking ham since your grandfather or something like that. That's where the ham thing comes. That's funny. I did not know that.
Yeah, specifically pertaining to Rue. Like through college, like it was kind of,
And y'all were where? Iowa?
Yeah, I am. Jake lives in Minneapolis.
Yeah, but where was college?
Oh, Iowa State.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, and you had to bring it in because you can't really get hams in Tennessee. Not that I know of, at least not easily.
Not these days, no.
Not on purpose.
I know at Ernie's Nashville, they have it on tap. Our friend Bonadude usually kind of scouts it out, lets us know where it's happening. So if anyone in the Nashville area wants to hit it, Ernie's Nashville.
Cool, yeah, because you kind of Smokey and the Bandit it to get it into Tennessee in the back of your car.
Yeah.
And so a podcast is born out of that trip in 2018 then, huh?
We listened to the What religiously, And, you know, those drops were so, especially in 2018 when they were a little, not as like, I mean, y'all are so on point now every week. Like then it was kind of like more scattershot, you know? So it was like, so we would like text each other every time one dropped, like, oh my gosh, it's here. And then, you know, Rubus got in on it and we said, you know, well, you know, let's try it ourselves because, you know, like everyone, you just talk about it so much. Let's just hit record, I guess.
Might as well. You have a podcast with your friends every other week or so. Might as well hit record, right?
Yeah.
And y'all, you have a radio background? He as well?
Yeah. Yes. Jake and I both were DJs at like the campus, on-campus station, KURE. And then I did a little bit of like news broadcasting right out of college. Those 3 a.m. mornings hit really hard, and I don't do it anymore. partially for that reason. But yeah, I did like professional radio in quotes for, you know, 2 years or so after college.
I guess what I want to, the Bonnaroo thing, you joked about it because we all have, you talk about it all the time, right? That it became an obsession. But you got other people to go with you. That's kind of what I want to talk about. You said 50 people. Where are they? They're from everywhere, right?
I mean, I guess literally coast to coast. We had people from L.A. and New York, as well as primarily the Midwest. But, you know, a little bit of, L.A., New York, a lot, Tennessee, obviously, Minnesota, Iowa primarily. So
when you said earlier that some of your people, this was their last time, why?
You know, I think some people, I think for our group, it's like we just are so into it that some people jumped on just because, you know, we're so passionate about it. We talk about it so much that, you know, they jump on and they do love it. But I think now that we're all like in, you know, approaching 30 or we are 30, I think a lot of them aren't. And you know, group camping is ostensibly GA, you know, from an amenity standpoint. And so a lot of people are just not about the camping aspect and, you know, just the PTO of it all. And they like it, but they aren't quite as like into it as all of us are on the show, for example.
I think the three of us are proof you can still go to Bonnaroo and camp after 30.
Yeah, that's true. It does get tougher and tougher, though.
Yeah, but you don't have to just give it up.
Right. And I think this year, I mean, obviously, really tested some people's sanity. But I think it's a testament that I would say not all, but a majority of those people outside of like the core, what we consider 5 to 10 people, most of them are at least considering coming back just because, you know, it was hell for 24 hours, but you know, it's just, you know, I think we have done a really good job with our group, camp. You know, we don't do anything like super flashy for like, you know, the general public, but you know, this year we had like our classic, you know, camp bar. We had 5 unique drinks. We had camp trivia every day. We had the Pong tournament. And that's something we really like to do, like program just for the group.
So what kind of from your vantage point, as the rain was starting to fall early Friday, rewinding to that Friday of Bonnaroo, what was your camp like? How did that go for the next 5 hours for you guys? Was it really, I mean, as far as flooding itself where you were at, or just the conditions and just the mood of your people that day?
Yeah, great question. So it kind of threw stuff off right away because a lot of people were really wanting to see Ginger Root, who was like 2 p.m. or something. I wasn't going to that, but so people were like, that was like right when the rain started. They were walking that way. And as they were walking there, they said like, we're delaying. And so people were already like a little annoyed about that. In terms of like spot, you know, what's funny is when we got placed, we were actually kind of annoyed because we got placed in like the very back corner, far from the group amenities and far from Senaru. And so at first we were like really annoyed by that, bummed out by that. Like, you know, this is kind of a bummer spot. But, you know, once the rain came in, we were far from foot traffic and we were at, you know, high elevation wise comparatively, you know. So yeah. All of our stuff got wet, but we were not underwater. And I don't know if anyone's stuff got like, I mean, some things obviously were tossed, but I don't think anyone's like gear was outright ruined from flooding.
But the mood as the day progressed. Tell us, just run through that. I mean, we're talking around 1 o'clock or so, and then around 8 o'clock is when we start. 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock is when our group starts to realize that we're done here. That's a 6-7 hour window. How did those spirits go and crash?
Yeah. So I mean, probably the biggest crash ever, but you know, starting at, you know, whatever, well, that was 1-2
let me jump what was it, how was it different than 21, the hurricane, where you guys were, what, you were north of Nashville, weren't you, when you got the word? I think you adapted and made the best of it because you were on the road. So how was that different, in addition to Brian's question?
Right. So first of all, shout out Short Mountain Distillery in, I forget where, in Tennessee, but that's where we went in 21. Amazing moonshine. Anyway, I think the main difference was, you know, we had just had a great Thursday. Not my like all-timer Thursday, but, you know, still great shows that day. And we were queuing up for a crazy Friday as well. And I did
great
Thursday.
Weather too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Thursday, I actually turned in because, you know, it was going to be such a marathon of a weekend. And, you know, I was like, you know, I feel like I like could, and I guess this is a testament why you like should do, you know, these things, but I was like, you know, it's going to be such a marathon weekend, I'm going to go back. So anyway, yeah, the next day, like 1-2 PM, people were mostly annoyed that, you know, sets were going to be shortened. And then, you know, after a couple hours, people were like, you know, we're not going to see Ginger Root or whoever else Flip Turn was that day, let alone we were supposed to do our panel that day. podcast.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
No, man. I was going to ask about that. I was so excited for you guys because ours was awesome.
Yeah, we'll come back to that for sure. But continue.
Totally.
And you are going to do it next year. You know that, right?
Yeah, I mean, if they'll have us, obviously.
Yeah, we've gotten promises already that your guys are.
Well, Brad promised.
Well, one of those guys is gone.
So. Yeah, the guy who's not there. That's why I said it on.
Brad, never heard of him.
Yeah.
Well, so that actually does kind of feed into like the narrative of the day at camp. So, you know, you just kind of sit around for a while. And then, you know, we are texting Kelsey, who was great comms wise. Just from like, hey,
she's
we're gonna
over Planet Roo.
Correct. Yep. And so we're just like, you know, we're gonna delay, that's fine with us. Then it got pushed past the date and we're like, okay, you know, whatever, we're sitting. But you know, there wasn't that much to do that day besides just sitting around and drinking. which was great. But so that fed into it a little bit because we were like, should we be cutting off at some point? Because we technically
got to be professional at some point.
At this point in the story, we're like, we need to be on stage in an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it was
going to
be.
And there's no reason to believe for sure that you're not going to that day.
Right.
Like I didn't even think about that anxiety. My goodness, I would ruin my whole month.
Brian, that's why I picked Thursday.
Well, there was a lot of good reasons to pick Thursday, but in hindsight, it's clearly the best reason. But yeah, go ahead, Parker.
But so, I mean, it was actually, you know, just detached, like in a bottle, like, it was a really fun day up until the obvious cancellation. Like when the rain started coming down, we were like pumping the tunes and we did like camp karaoke and other like groups like came over because of that. And we had, you know, it was like a little party in like the downpour. And then a group down the way like brought out a huge tarp and there was slip and slide happening. So just kind of a classic Bonnaroo people like making the best of the worst kind of situation. Like we said, like with those like joys kind of came the eventual like, you know, meteor hit.
What about when you got the news?
Yeah. And so we were, you know, sitting back and Jake kind of this year we had like a camp PA, which we were really excited about. But he like kind of came over the PA and started like reading something. And I remember yelling at him because I was on the way other side of camp. I was like, we can't hear you. Speak up. And he's just reading the statement. And as he started, obviously, we thought like just today would be canceled. And then, yeah, just the eventual cancellation. Everyone kind of like, what, you know, from how to communicate with like our group, basically, like that was what was most stressful initially. Like, cause basically we had to like just break out with, you know, five or six of us that kind of plan most of the things and just kind of be like, well, first of all, we're like processing all of that. And then we have to be like, okay, well, what do we tell anyone? What help do we offer people? You know, what can we even do, you know, in this instance? And, it was tough, but you know, so it was a lot to process, you know, just the general, like so much to process that didn't even like hit me the full like cancellation for a couple hours after that.
No, I'm sure. And so once you did start to gather your thoughts, you and your, you know, your closest, we'll call it teammates on this, what was your plans for the next 12 to 15 hours? You don't live an hour away. You live a state and a half away.
Yeah. Yeah.
What
totally.
Are you guys thinking?
And do you feel, are you like team captain? Are you feeling like it's, you're, you know, you're in charge, your daddy, that type
most
of thing? You
got to
be responsible
maybe
for the others.
Yeah. I would say four or five
Ooh,
of
that
us. Puts, take,
that's even harsher.
Yeah. And you know, we, you know, revel in that. We love the process, but obviously right. That was like the first time that something that big had ever happened. And yeah. Basically it just kind of boiled down to like, And it was, you know, the timing is what it was, but you know, the sun was already setting. And so people were like, and so this is when it doesn't help, you know, I'm sure everyone experienced this, but you know, we'd been drinking all day. So everyone's like emotions are heightened as well. And,
This is an incredible dynamic to all this because it's not, this is just what you do there when there's nothing else to do. This isn't a bunch of degenerates. This is just what you do. So everybody, many people experience this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's this group here. Cause like Brian, you went home because you had not been drinking. You don't drink anymore. So you're
finally I'm doing things and I can make decisions.
Well, but I did. I'm like, Parker. I'm like, I've had a beer. I'm not getting in a car. Russ, I don't even remember, but you weren't going home. Russ never leaves.
I wasn't going home. No, I had been drinking too, but also, you know, once the bus is set up and there's tents and everything connected to it,
I can't
just drive off. That's a lot of work to pack up and head out. So I don't think any of us at our camp, other than Brian, thought we got to leave now. Let's just
so we lost. Just to recap a little bit, Parker. Brian left. The Velans left, which was hilarious because Tara was not leaving, but Joe was like, "We're gone." If you remember that, he was like, "I don't care if you go with, but I'm gone."
He's like, we'll come back tomorrow. She was devastated. She was actually, she told me in private that she's like, "I was so relieved when it got canceled and everybody had to leave and not just me."
Yeah.
So I'm trying to rethink everybody else.
Nathan Gale left eventually in the middle of the night.
We didn't even hear him leave early.
Yeah.
Basically dragged his tent to the garbage can and left.
Said, "I'm out."
Go ahead, Parker. I'm sorry. I just wanted to relive our little mini camp.
I mean, it's like, you know, everyone processed on themselves. And then basically everyone broke into like their own cars, you know, the people that they rode there with. And basically it just boiled down to what do those people want to do? Like some people left that night, especially our friends who volunteered in 2021, who were on site when the hurricane hit. They said, "We are not risking anything like this again. We are getting the F out of here."
Wow.
And packed up, got out of there immediately.
As it seems to be, a lot of the volunteers did. And I do not blame a single one of them that their only payment is the festival that just got canceled. So it's time to go. Like, I don't have a problem with that at all.
And then, you know, there were some of those shows that were being rescheduled in Nashville. We had some people that went to some of those. And then the third category, including the car I was in, we just the next morning just drove all the way home. And
getting out was what kind of issue?
It was fine.
Or was it?
Yeah, it was fine.
Easy.
The next day, like I said, we were kind of like, I will say, the camps that were up by like the amenities, the showers, the water, the stages, whatever, in group, they had way more like foot traffic. It was way muddier over there. And I think a lot of the anxiety in group, I guess, was just like, I mean, it was like, it was, there was kind of a moment there where it was like, it kind of felt like a, what would you call it? Like a oil barrel or whatever. You're like, is this thing going to explode tonight? Like, cause I mean, like we said, everyone had been, you know, drinking all day. A lot of people, powder, I think, were, thank you. And, you know, there were tons of people just coming over to group because there were multiple, like, people putting on their own parties, which was fun. But, and in fact, the camp next to us had a party and they had a DJ until 5 a.m. And I was so not in the mood. And so I'm just laying, I'm just laying there in my hammock knowing that we have to get up in 3 hours or whatever. And I was in such a bad mood, but I will give this person credit. They were cooking with their mix. I was in such a bad mood that I was like, I want this to stop. Like, I'm so annoyed right now and I wish they were not, but this person is very talented.
That's a great job. So what was different about that attitude versus 21?
I think just the fact that we were there, everything was set up. Like 21, yeah, we had an opportunity to pivot.
Before you got your roots set, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, because it's such a different thing. I mean, it's, people don't understand. They say that, you know, we've heard people say, these things get rain all the time, but not on Thursday. Usually it's Sunday, and you've already been there and you deal with it. You know, you're there. Thursday was a little bit different attitude. At least it was for me. And I'm like you. Friday morning, I was so loaded up looking forward to the rest of the weekend. So,
yeah, it's not often that one day of Monroe gets such wide agreeableness from everybody that this is going to be a big day. Right? Like, there's just one day doesn't stick out as well or as much as that one did. And then that happens. So, yeah, that's brutal. What kind of drive is it to back home in Iowa, hours-wise, if everything goes well?
Yeah, no, taking stops out of it, 12, 13 hours. Ugh,
Jesus, that's a long ways.
Again, we're kind of spoiled, Brian.
Yeah, well, I know. Trust me, it ain't lost on me. What about your partner coming from Indianapolis? How the hell does he travel down?
Yeah, I mean, same thing. They just left at 3 a.m.
But did they do that by car?
Oh yeah,
the whole damn way.
Yeah,
man, you guys deserve a trophy.
All right, so again, you say you did the show after, but you haven't done any when you and Michael it's you and Jake that started it, but Michael is such a key component. I think he's great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean absolutely. Like, it started, you know, because when Jake and I started it, Michael went the first time in 2019, so when we started it he hadn't been yet. But I mean, Michael was like the main person who was like latching on to all of the Rue culture and the Rue, you know, the lineup building and stuff like that. Like, you know, he's just always cooking on that, like texting me throughout the day, like, do you hear that Gambino? Might be
like a true producer contributor kind of guy. Should sounds like a very valuable team member.
He does the deep dives. That's what I love. Yeah, all three of you guys do, but he does the deep dives. And what I love about Michael is he's like, if he doesn't like it, he doesn't like it.
Oh yeah,
sounds like a guy I can get along with.
Absolutely. He's like, nope.
Yeah. Moving on from this.
Yeah. But so why have you guys not done a show?
Yeah, I mean, the show's still a thing. Like, it's coming. I think we are just way more like when it fits in our schedule, I guess. Like, we're way more of a casual. Like, I mean, y'all and Rubus are so on it. Like we're kind of like the. I don't even know what word that we would say it. Like, I think we're content with what it is and we love that people listen and want it. And
okay,
I think we just don't have that much to say, but I will say, TBD on additional, like details, but we might experiment on like some different kinds of episodes this fall or next lineup season, just in terms of like more topical. Because the other day we were talking about, you know, whatever new album is out and like the recent like streaming discussions around Spotify. We might like do more topical episodes like that, because in our group chat it's just blowing up with that stuff all day, and we're like, why don't we just hit record on this?
Yeah, I think one of my favorite episodes was the vocabulary when we had you guys. that's absolutely one of my favorites.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a clue what y'all are talking about. You say so many different terms, and it makes it so funny.
I'll give a shout out to, like, you know, the next generation as well. Like, I mean, we're coming up to 30, like, Kiefer and Ryan with the Rue Report. Like, sometimes I feel that way about them, too. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, because they're in their early 20s, and, you know, it's coming, it's cyclical.
For us to do a show every week, it's kind of a blessing and a curse, because, you know, 2 weeks ago we had an episode cut ready to go, and we were just going to take the week off because we had it in the can. And then Brad announced that he's quitting, and then, you know, we had to get on and redo it, basically. So because so many people were expecting us to have something to say. So, you know, it's kind of a cycle where it's hard to break out of. It's hard to take a break now that we do it every week, because people kind of look forward to the show all the time. So it's a good thing and a bad thing.
Brian, you were going to say something about Brad, because you haven't been here for a while.
Oh, yeah, as far as...
big news since you've been on.
Yeah, we're kind of just throwing stuff against the wall on this week's show as far as, you know, show sheet kind of style stuff. But, yeah, we're talking about Brad Parker leaving. You know, I've been gone for a couple of weeks now, so I only made the joke on social, on Twitter, which got a little bit of play. My Twitter activity or X is very little, or I mean, engagement is very little, but the Festival post about Brad leaving, and I quote tweeted it, "It must be weird for Brad to talk in third person like this." got a few laughs. Me and Brad have had our little sparring from time to time. I really do think he's excellent at what he does. I want to know why he doesn't want to work for Bonnaroo. I want the personal story that might not be for air. I want to know for real. And I know it might be as simple as this is a better gig. Is it really? Are we sure about that? Or this sounds like a big time leap there, Brad. And I'm pulling for you, and good luck to you. But wild story out of nowhere. And you know, I like to know people in the decision making process, and we just lost one, but We'll learn the new she, I believe, right? A she taking over, a female.
We haven't had official confirmation, have we?
Yeah. Mm-mm.
But yeah, apparently. Parker, how weird is it? You're in Iowa. I mean, we're in. It doesn't really matter that we're this close to Manchester to me, because I think Bonnaroo people feel like they own it. How weird is that to you? I mean, you're in Iowa and you do a podcast about Bonnaroo.
just in terms, yeah, like the proximity, I guess. I mean,
just that that ownership feeling. That just strikes me as unusual.
Unusual to a big event that so many people in a feel like they own large circumference. Of an area.
And we know who Brad is. We all know who Brad is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, to the Brad point, I think, I mean, people are asking like all these questions, like in our group, like, oh, what does this mean? Whatever. And it's like, I mean, I don't really know. And I think most people are, sad just because Brad is such a good, like, public facing member of the community.
He enjoys being talked about. Let's just get right to it, and we all do it because he's an important character or important
runs the show.
Member of the show. Yeah, exactly.
But just from like the I think like with the internet, that you know, the popularization of Reddit and the Discords and everything, like it feels like we're closer than we are, just because, you know, I'm here talking to y'all right now. you know, and we're all remote, so we might as well be in the same room to an extent, you know, and I don't see y'all, you know, pretty much any other day of the year. But I think, you know, just the popularization of Reddit and Discord and everything, like, and the podcast, like, it makes it feel so much closer than it is. I will say it has been interesting to shout the Iowa local tie to see Hinterland Festival, Hinterland Music Festival, kind of adopt some Ruvian practices in certain ways. Still not to the same scale, but just as it grows, just seeing some of those influences.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Hinterland because we talked about it in the extensive pre-show meeting for 2 seconds. I was following along with the changes, and thank you for helping, like, kind of connect us with Sam, who runs a joint, and reaching out to people from Bonnaroo to do the things we're talking about, make it a little bit more like that and fix their festival, which it appears they might have done. Did you go to Hinterland this year?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All 3 days.
So before you, I want to hear about it. Just overview quickly. But when this 90 degree guarantee thing, right? Like, it sounds cheesy and cheap the way it was, if you word it like that. But in the end, it really feels like a lot of this worked out pretty well. But when you first heard about that after the disaster of last year, just weather and water issues, what were you thinking beforehand? Like, a month out, like, this is a good idea. This is a weird idea. Let's see. Go for it.
Yeah. I mean, I think a great idea. Just for transparency, like, I have been on staff at Hinterland before, and obviously Sam is my boss, et cetera, yada, yada. But, like, I mean, just after being on the ground, I feel like Hinterland is such a, like, it's gained such, like, a nationwide, like, people, you know, certain years people come from all 50 states for it.
It's got a good lineup most years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, but I, with that, I think it's still so, like, local, like, people, like, locally still feel such an attachment to it. So I think the outcry is, like, stronger than maybe, because, you know, we're a smaller scene. So people know who to, like, or assume they know who to, like, point fingers at, for instance. So I think just, like, addressing that as, like, head on as possible in an innovative way was, like, I mean, it was so good. Like, people are heard and they have that option. And, you know, it worked out. It was like the best weather to any festival I've ever been to. It was like 75 every day and cloudy.
So you along those lines, you do go, and we're going to talk about Red Rocks. You and Michael and Jake go to a lot of different shows. How are they different? And in particular, and I guess I'm making this point, you could do a podcast about any of them, but you do a podcast about Bonnaroo and obviously Ham's Culture. But so how are they different, and why does Bonnaroo rate a podcast and not the others?
Yeah. I mean, obviously Roo was the first, I would say major.
Could you do a podcast about the others? Could anybody do a podcast about the other festivals?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard, you know, maybe not 52 episodes in a year, but, you know, maybe, but I think just the rule of it, that, you know, not only is it, you know, so storied and so historic, and I'm far from an expert or whatever, but, you know, I am going on 10 years. So I at least understand, like, the, you know, how people within the fan base feel about it. And people, like, I think that's, like, the main difference is people, like, want to do, like, they want to be a part. They want to be a part of it, and they want to program their own, and they love to, you know, cite certain show, you know, this show from 05, you know, whatever. And I think that's part of it. And I think, like, with all the shows, like, everyone kind of bounces off of each other, and just that sense of community and, is just what makes it. And I, you know, because I didn't go to Hinterland until 2018, even though it did, its first year was 2015. So I've been going to Roo longer than any other event that I've been to.
So just a quick recap of Hinterland this year. You said the weather was great, but I was reading through Reddit and others that the water issues, which if it's 75, you don't have people who really, really need a lot of hydration. But water was taken care of. Lines were down. Like, that's just Reddit talking. If you would just kind of give a review of that.
I mean, I would absolutely agree. They had different stations, more of like automatic water bottle stations, whereas in the past they were like hoses that you would, or not literal like house hoses, but like, yeah, that you kind of spray into your own. And I mean, the number one, like, just, it was so comfortable. They moved it. It's on the same plot of land, but they moved it to like the other side of this, that they used to use for parking. And so a common like comment was, it's almost like too big and too spacious, which I think compared to last year was such an upgrade. But
don't ever complain about that, because it'll go away.
yeah. And, you know, there's just so much room to like escape if you need a breather. Whereas, you know, the old natural amphitheater was awesome. But, you know, as we saw last year, it kind of reached max capacity. So it just felt good to like, you know, being able to like spread your wings literally and not touch another human.
Sounds like a dream to me. So everybody feels like it's here to stay, at least for the immediate future.
Oh, absolutely.
The festival. Yeah.
All right. I gotta know, man. Had you been to Red Rocks before?
I had not. This was my first time.
All right. So for anybody who doesn't know, My Morning Jacket is my favorite new band. I mean, there's the Beatles. And then as far as new bands and Bonnaroo 2008 or whatever, seeing My Morning Jacket changed my perspective. So how awesome was that show?
Are you a big MMJ guy? I mean, just a cool rock show to go see, or you go deep with them?
Yeah, no, I would say I'm like a base level fan.
Stan?
You know, like,
Stan? Yeah, are you Stan?
Not a Stan.
Not a stand. Not a stand.
Not
one
a
of
stand.
One of Barry's words he learned from you.
I learned from you guys. Had to look it up twice.
No, I mean, like we have kind of been talking about, most of my MMJ like footprint has been like from, you know, their history with Rue, and they were there in 2015, the first year that I went, didn't see them, but I remember that year. That was the first time I had heard of them, because that I remember that year they were playing everywhere, and so that was, you know, we were like, who is this band that like don't even, so I didn't really even dig deep in quotes.
And you'd
like,
have been until, 20, you'd have been 20 years old, right?
Yeah, I would have been 19.
Okay.
19 right. When I went to my first tour.
Yeah. They're almost a classic rock band to you.
but I mean, so I will shout out, my girlfriend Paige, this was her idea to go to the My Morning Jacket. So like after the Rue was, the Rue was canceled, you know, the refunds are hitting and everyone's like thinking of these makeups, you know, what shows can we go to? And Paige loves Red Rocks. And she was like, My Morning Jacket is there and Melt is opening, who was going to be at Rue this year. We were so excited to see. And so just the venue itself, just is maybe one of the best venues in the country. If not, you know, not that I've been to obviously a majority of them, but one of the best venues I've ever been to, just from like a pure like scope and like how it feels being there, and just the uniqueness and the quality of like pretty much the entire experience.
I mean, I'm fascinated with Red Rocks. I'm fascinated with, you know, many of these, you know, the Gorge in Washington and other places. What is it that makes it so great? I know it's a great picture. It's a great picture. It's a great aerial. It's a great postcard. Is the sound that much different than an outdoor place? Is there any gimmick to it at all? Like, is it, well, it's, you know, it's fine here, but it's just, we celebrate every bit of it. Is there any gimmick to it, or is it just that naturally just different?
You know, I will say, I think the sound is, for at least this one show that I went to, was like good, not the best sound that I ever heard. I think it's just like the weight of being there, like so many
vibe of it. Yeah.
Like people treat it like, we talk about how big these Rue shows of history are. Like people talk about Red Rocks the same way. Like I think Jacket said that was their 19th headlining show, Red Rocks. They played two nights. I think they said it was their 18th and 19th. Yeah. And so they just have these stories and just like the uniqueness of the, and like you said, the postcard, just like the destination of it. Like people say, I want to go to Red Rocks, and yeah, they don't even know
my list.
I
don't
calendar.
Know why.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, cause it's open to the public. It's a public park and when it's not open, correct? Like, I think you can go run the stairs or just hang out around the venue, even when it's not open. Right.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, just talking to people after the show, I mean, multiple people that I'm friends with were like, oh, I haven't seen a show there, but I've been there. I went during the day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat if I got the chance. How far away is that from middle Iowa or roughly from where you're from?
We flew. Yeah, my sister moved to Denver, so had a great place to stay, obviously. And it was only like, I mean, it's just outside Denver, about a half hour from where we were staying. So it's like just outside of the city, but close enough that you can drive. And the way that it faces is you can see the city proper. You can see the skyline and all of Denver top of the stage.
Nice. Speaking of venues, little change of subject. Shout out to Todd Mayo and the Cavern. They got an Academy of Country Music Award as best venue.
Yeah, yeah, I saw you post last week. Send us
I sent Todd a congratulations note, and he said, thanks, man. But, yeah, that's hearing your questions, Brian, is kind of like that's what I was thinking of. I mean, the Caverns is clearly a unique experience, and we love it. And I put the Red Rocks right there as the same. I mean, they're the two I think of. And you know, Madison Square Garden would be the other, but that's because of history.
Yeah, yeah. History
Bowl,
spells that out.
Hollywood Bowl maybe would be another one.
In California, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting to hear you say the sound was okay. I would think it would be awesome.
See, I think that's what we're all conditioned to think. You know, there's a lot of variables that can go into that, clearly. Have you been to the Caverns, Parker?
No, but Barry, how you're feeling about Red Rocks? I feel the same way about the Caverns. Like, I want to find a time to go.
It's awesome. It's pretty.
I mean, we are so biased because of our close connections to it and proximity close to it. Jesus, guys. I mean, I can't. Every time I go, I'm like, I can't believe this place is right here. And when I think, and I'm almost maybe I'm using that a little bit without thinking about it, of like Red Rocks. Was Red Rocks cooler than the Caverns? Because the Caverns rocks, man. And it's got multiple ways that makes it so great. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Red Rocks
compared
has
to Red
to
Rocks.
Be.
Yeah, it's
that's
been compared.
It's to me they're the almost the same and not
well
the same.
natural venues built into a historical natural.
Plus, you saw my background. Like I said, my favorite band, so I'm into it.
Yeah, and they played the two nights, no repeats. I was just there the Saturday show, but we met up with some Rue people, actually, and one of their friends went both nights, and, you know, just the community of Jacket as well. Like, it feels so similar to the Rue community, just welcoming.
They got that hybrid jam band, mainstream rock kind of loyalty, both from the jam people, the jam community, and just the rock and rollers that just love the music, you know, that there's that too. So that's sounds like a hell of a time. Got to get there sometime. Been to Denver a couple of times. Love the state of Colorado. Never been there. I got to do that someday.
Absolutely.
So Parker, what are you thinking about next year? You got any, I mean, just.
Yeah, that's a great question.
You've said, I think you've already at least insinuated you're going, but what are your thoughts on next year? Thursday changes, any other changes that you know you want to speak to?
I am vaguely positive on all of it, especially like the scaling, the slight scaling down. I know that a lot of people are bummed about the Thursday, and that's the part that I would say like maybe I am, but I feel like Rue the past since 2020. Or 2022, whatever. I feel like maybe if this year wasn't canceled, we wouldn't even be saying this, but it had gotten so big that there's like nowhere else to go. And so it kind of feels good to like, I guess we'll see how it pans out, obviously, but it feels good to like rein it in just a little bit. I'm actually kind of pro that decision.
I'm thank you, Brian, for asking that question. And I'm glad to hear you say that. Cause we felt the same. I think, I don't mean to speak for Brian and Russ, but I'm glad to hear you say that. It just felt like it was getting, I don't know what, something
a little cluttered maybe, but my biggest thing is with big events and more, I'm talking more about like, sporting events and leagues and how they expand and expand and expand and most entertainment things. It's just never never retract. We only expand. We only make it more. We only make it better. And eventually it's like, what are you doing? And so I hadn't thought about this until you just said it that way, Parker, that yes, maybe this is a good little bit of a pullback reset, and it creeps its way back into some different programming throughout the day, because Thursday really had turned into a more and more of a bigger and splashier day. I personally really liked it, but that's just one man's opinion on one day's of programming. When you zoom out and macro look at it, things really were starting to get bigger and bigger, and eventually it kind of feels like, how big is too big? And I ask that question about things all the time, and the way you just put it made me think about that, and I think that's an interesting way to think about it that changes my mind a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of think about it sometimes, like when you look at like the posters that have, you know, 100 names or whatever, and it's epic and it's awesome, and people are always like, more, 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 and I'm like, I'm only going to see 20 of these bands, like, so adding another 50, does that make it objectively better? I don't think so. Like, so anyway, like, just my opinion, I guess, and I guess we'll see how it pans out next year. Obviously, like, if it's the worst lineup ever, it's the worst lineup ever.
Well, at the end of the day, you gotta have some good names. No, exactly. And it never is. Yeah. You gotta have some good names, and they will have some good names. So maybe an easing it in with a little reduced capacity could really increase the overall fan experience. I guess we'll find out.
And I mean, I don't think it's a negative to have a more comfortable experience. Like, I know some people like roughing it out, but I mean, it's still going to feel big. Like, I forget what number they said, 65 or.
Yeah. They'll make it feel big one way or another.
That's about the number. Plus, and you guys, again, going back to Jake and Michael, I mean, I love hearing, what's the squirt gun? The beer, what's it called?
Oh, the shot fun. Yeah.
The shot fun.
Shot fun, yeah.
Shot fun. Those are the moments, as much as, you know, who's on stage. That's the thing that we love about, like, this festival.
I'm thinking, I don't know what this is, Parker, the shot fun. Is this like a super soaker that you're
like, with a can of beer. Shot?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I thought that might be what you're talking about.
I watched Jake shotgun a warm hands.
As a tradition.
With his super soaker.
So it's a tool. just putting a hole right here and then opening it up is not good enough.
So I wish I had it in my hands. It's in my basement. But you insert this can, and when you pump it, it punctures the bottom of the can. And when you pull the trigger, it pierces the mouthpiece of the can. And then you.
Well, that's more efficient.
It's one of my favorite memories. I love it. That's the kind of stuff I love. Parker, man, thank you so much for giving up some of your time. I can't wait for you guys to do another episode.
Thank you. Yeah.
Maybe I'll listen to one of these days, Parker.
it's okay. Yeah.
He won't.
I don't listen to anything.
Okay. He won't listen.
I don't listen to our own show.
I know he doesn't. All right, so we got a little bonus. Russ, you spent the weekend, Labor Day weekend, as you have done the last couple of years with our good friend Lindsay down at the other farm.
Yeah, just got back from the other farm down at this undisclosed location close to Manchester. Our friend Lindsay
has... There's a secret code to get in. You got to know.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, you got to know somebody. Lindsay's got about, 12 or 13 acres of just beautiful land. There's a creek that runs behind it. So, we sat in the creek. Towards the end, we'll play a little clip because Daniel came down. Daniel from the Rubus.
Nice.
The three of us sat in the creek and just kind of got caught up and talked some Bonnaroo stuff and talked some totem stuff.
It's called the other farm because that's where, which one was it, 19 or not 19, but 20 when it canceled, or was it 21 where
they were the big refugees? Well, was that
both? Both were canceled. We both had big events over there at the other farm. Ryan made a big sign that kind of mimicked the other stage, but it just says the other farm. And so that's just how it got its nickname. That first year, we had a couple bands play. And, We're actually right now, I helped him. He's building a bathhouse out there. There's never been any type of like bathroom situation. So anytime we have a group, he's always got to rent a porta potty. So he dreamed up this, little kind of outhouse style with a toilet and shower and sink. And so, yeah, we did some work on that, some plumbing work, and put some boards up. And so hopefully that'll get done at some point.
So do you need to set it up? I mean, I sound like Johnny Carson. Do we need to set up this? do we need to set this up?
Well, basically, we just sat in the creek and talked a little Bonnaroo and talked about...
Were you naked? Because Lindsay typically gets naked in the creek, right?
He does.
Really? Because I don't want to see that.
Yeah, and we had to
make sure that he was sitting so where the camera wasn't pointed up his kilt. Okay. I'll put it that way.
Good enough.
All right. So run the clip. Here we go.
Hey, everyone. As you can see, I am in this beautiful creek. I'm here with two good friends, Daniel from the Rubus and Lindsay.
Lindsay from the other farm.
From here,
the other farm. This is the other farm. We've come for this holiday weekend just to hang out and drink some beer and sit in the creek. And Daniel, you're here. And I understand Totem's got a lot of new things going on. You want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, we do. I guess like one of the biggest things I can tell you is we were pretty bummed that last year's scholarship class didn't get to get a full rue because everybody knows what happened. So we extended the invitation for them to come back, and we'll do that in addition to next year's class that we'll, kind of filter through and invite out. So we'll have six people at Rue with us next year. I'm kind of really looking forward
to that.
That's
awesome.
We've had a lot of good luck with that. Like, we've had some really good scholarship recipients that have come out that may have not gotten the chance to come to Rue otherwise. And it means a lot to me to be able to pass this on to the next generation.
Good. Well, plus your podcast, Storytime at the Rubus, you're doing some upgrades and some expansion, right?
Yeah, we are. You're kind of making the path here. We decided we wanted to start doing video. Charlotte talked me into it. We are bringing in a lot of proceeds thanks to our Patreon. So we wanted to upgrade and hopefully bring in some more revenue for Totem, because everything that we bring in on the Patreon goes directly to Totem. It's bringing in a lot of money so we can help out our scholarship recipients and do a lot of other fun stuff. So we're like, hey, we should probably take this more seriously. So yeah, we're doing video now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's cool that you're doing so well with the Patreon and everybody's donating. So we just recorded a little segment that's going to go on your show.
Is it? Oh my God.
Yeah, with the three of us.
Yeah.
So go check out therealrubus.com and the Rubus Storytime at the Rubus podcast if you want to check out more. So.
Yeah. Let's talk to Lindsay. How are you feeling over there? What are you drinking there, buddy?
I'm drinking garage beer.
Oh, wait. I thought you were joking. It really is garage beer.
Yeah, the garage is always open. So garage beers. Actually, so inexpensive, almost the cheapest beer at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Cheaper than Natty Light. But actually, it's really good tasting beer. And so I'm kind of addicted now to my garage beer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm good. I'm actually really good. I'm happy. I got some good friends. I am unplugging from work for a couple days, and except got a work koozie, go figure. But life is good, brother. Life is real good right now.
Yeah, same. I'm glad to come out here and unplug for this long weekend. And we did do some work. We helped you put up some boards and some plumbing in your bathhouse that you're building.
No, I appreciate the help. It's really fun going out and just putting something together with a couple friends, and we're up there acting silly, making jokes about the boards and laughing and having a good time.
We installed a certain feature on there.
Yeah. Put some really, really awesome looking cedar boards in on the bathhouse. And it's going to be a place where you guys and my friends and the close people that we've met with Bonnaroo can come out here, and we don't have to worry about a porta potty or digging a hole.
That's important. So, didn't have much else to say. We're just having a good time. We're going to go back and drink some more beer, I think. And what are you drinking?
Well, I brought you boys some of this 7-year Jim Beam over here. I wanted to treat you.
Oh, nice.
Got a little bit of a vanilla taste, which it seems sacrilegious to bring that into Tennessee because that's a Kentucky product.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've got...
It's a fine American product. It's still good in Tennessee.
Okay.
We just have better... We have better things to offer. Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. I want to talk with you guys about something before we get out of here. You both are going to the Caverns here in about a month, right?
Yeah, yes.
Tell me a little bit about that. Sell me on this, because I'm thinking about coming up for a day.
Okay, so partly because Bonnaroo canceled out, I needed a fall festival. Last year, my fall festival was South Star in Huntsville, which unfortunately got rain shortened. If the rain shortens K-Fest, I'm going to be a really unhappy camper.
Well, it's in a cave, so I think you're okay.
But so K-Fest is going to be a bluegrass-centric music festival across 2 days at the Caverns in Pelham, Tennessee. We'll be camping for a couple days and getting to see some great artists. Scott Miller is actually one of my favorites. Jim Lauderdale, Leftover Salmon, Sam Bush. So I'm looking forward to it because I think it's going to be really chill vibe for me. I love bluegrass, love country and Americana, and so it fits right in my wheelhouse.
And you guys told me it's more of like a Billy Strings bluegrass other than like a grandpa bluegrass.
I think there's going to be what you would term as a grandpa bluegrass, probably a couple guys in overalls with a banjos and guitars on
cool
stage,
with that.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But I think there's also, from listening to a playlist that I made of all the artists and their top songs, I think it's going to be there's going to be some good Americana, some rockish country. Like I said, Scott Miller is someone I'm looking forward to seeing. I've listened to Jim Lauderdale for many, many years, and he's a legend. And I always try and go see a legend when I can. I learned that lesson when I missed Paul McCartney at Bonnaroo.
What? You missed? No, not
Paul McCartney. Sorry. My apologies. When I missed Tom Petty.
Oh, Tom Petty.
Oh, I did too. Me and Charlotte did
and
too.
That's one of my biggest regrets. And so because of that, I made sure to see John Prine at Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
That was a must not miss. So there's a John Prine cover band going to be here. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. And from what Russ has told me, I'm going to get to see a bunch of my good friends. And that, to me, is the best part about a music festival.
It doesn't take much to talk him into just taking the bus out to go camp out somewhere.
Oh, no. Absolutely. And no further than down the road that the Caverns is. I mean, I passed it on the way here. It's so close. We're going to have a bunch of good friends. The church boners are coming. And I also wanted to mention, you know, because of Rue's cancellation, you know, Live Nation got a lot of backlash. For better or worse, I don't know. But, you know, if you want to come out and support an independent festival,
small business,
locally owned, locally employed, I mean, the Caverns is it.
And right now,
tickets are only $99.
For the whole weekend.
For the whole weekend, and it includes camping. I couldn't believe it.
It's pretty good.
I had to buy it. I bought the RV pass extra so I can bring my travel trailer because, you know, I'm a spoiled little brat. But, yeah, it's extremely affordable for a really good lineup, and this is absolutely not a plug. They didn't pay me squat for that.
No, I'm not getting paid at all. But like you said, the tickets are reasonable. Honestly, everything there, the food is reasonable. The beer is reasonable.
We got a bunch of food trucks. It's like the food is not just a booth with a tent. It's actual local food trucks.
Yeah, it's all local. They will sell you firewood, and it's reasonable. Ice, bags of ice are, you know, pretty cheap. It's a very affordable.
You want to buy your ticket right now, Dan?
Well, what I was thinking about is me and you went to one night of Pretty Lights.
Yes.
Almost 2 years ago now. And, you know, it's a very wookish crowd there. And me and you were chilling like halfway back, and I went to get some chili from like a local vendor. And I'm sitting there at this Wookiee show having some Southern chili. And I'm like, this is the best, man.
Oh, it was
having a blast.
It was great. Yeah. We went to Pretty Lights. It was like, was it early January? I think.
No, it was, late December. It was October, November, something like
No, it was cold because I had on, thermal leggings.
It was cold.
And like 3 layers worth of pants, sweatshirt. And I actually had my heavy parka because it was frosty. We were actually frosty. By the time the show started, we were also toasty by the time the show started. That was great.
It was cold, but I had a blast. It was
super
fun because
cool
of
atmosphere for it. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be my good fall festival. It's going to be relaxing. And like I said, I think I'm going to have like a dozen friends there to hang out with. That's the best part.
It really is.
Yeah, for sure.
It really is.
All right.
How you feeling, Taco?
I'm feeling great. I think we're going to go and drink some more beer, drink some more Jim Beam. So go check out The Real Rubus, Storytime at The Rubus, if you want to hear more and check out what they're doing with video and everything. So, yeah, we'll see you next time.
All right. Send the other two boys my regards.
Yeah.
I don't have a podcast, and I never will.
You should. No. I just want to hear you talk every week about, like, all of your crazy stuff. It's like, oh, this week I went and built a shitter at the farm.
Well, that's what we did. We built a shitter at the farm this week.
Should leave it there.
All right, there you go.
That's a good place to leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't build a shitter at the farm, but I had a good weekend.
Looked like a comfortable little creek to chill in and drink. Yeah. I like the looks of that.
It is. The weather was great. Yeah. Great company. Great trip. So y'all all seriously right. Need to come out for a trip sometime.
If you can, come to the other farm and definitely go to the cavern. Obviously, we've given them a big plug, but we kind of like it.
Cave Fest, yeah. The 11th, I believe. 11th, 12th, 13th.
You know, and he made it. I knew he was going October. With Tom Petty. I knew that's what he was trying to pull because I missed that one, too. That is my most regrettable miss.
Yeah, it's one of those probably I'll get it next time until not gonna be a next time.
No, daughter Grace called and said I got pit passes and I said I'll be there and I didn't go. Anyway.
Something came up.
We could do a whole show on the great misses that we've all
the shows I've
collectively
missed. Low the shows that I've missed.
Yeah, we'll do that one of these days, that's for sure.
Next week, we're going to, maybe, I shouldn't say, we don't know what's going to happen, but if the plan is we're going to talk to Brian about his trip to the post office, which Russ is, he pins a needle. Look at him.
I'm fascinated. I can't wait.
I went 3,000 miles to get a Starbucks coffee and go to a post office. It was an incredible trip.
All right. Thanks, guys.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.